Quincy, City Council President Anne Mahoney joining us to give us a review of what was the last council meeting of the season. Anne, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Doing all right, thank you. It has been a speedy session, it seems like.
So it feels like it really does feel like a super fast 6 months, doesn't it? And here we are in June, and our next meeting isn't going to be until September. So we'll get a little bit of a break. But we did have this meeting, and there was the last two meetings we had were special meetings just to make sure that we could get, start back up in September and be ready to keep moving. So because we had a lot of work in the first 6 months with the budget and all of the things that were going on, and we're setting ourselves up for a busy fall as well.
Right. Actually, there were committee meetings and a full council meeting, right, last night?
We had the oversight meeting first, and that was in regards to the CLASB case, which is now a matter of public record because the federal prosecutor came out, and they actually the fines and everything came out. I think he's going to go to jail for 6 months and home arrest for 6 months. But this is really about the $136,000 that was stolen from the elder services at the Kennedy Center. And we were just looking for those safeguards that were put in place. We got to hear from Treasurer Molly Smith. She did a great job presenting. Chief Keenan, Solicitor Timmons, and
Chief
for,
Kennedy, you mean?
oh, did I say Chief Keenan? What did I say?
You said Chief Keenan.
Chief Keenan. Well, Chief Keenan was he was there when I was there too. So Chief Kennedy, I apologize. Chief Kennedy was there, and Solicitor Timmons and the procurement officer was there for a little while too, Catherine Logan.
Okay, and resolution. So I guess is it a binding order, Anne, or is it just a resolution?
It was just a resolution. So this was an
Okay.
order to review basically what was going on, and it was actually brought in, if I remember right, this particular order was brought in by Ian Kane, and it never actually made the light of day in those 2 years. So it was Councillor Riley who put this back in just because the report from the administration is the right time to do it too, because it's everything just kind of is coming, everything kind of the case is coming to an end. The judgment has been awarded at this point. So it was time sensitive in the fact that if we waited until September, it would just feel just it just felt like the right time to do it. Just get it out of the way right now so you're not like dealing with this again in September. So the meeting was really about governance, oversight, and accountability. The issues surrounding the CLASB case have understandably raised concerns throughout our community. And the focus was less about personalities and more ensuring that the council and addressed the matters before we went into the summer sessions to make sure that people understood. And in the brief that came from the federal government, it was basically said several times that there were people working in the COA that were instinctively hiding things from Mr. Clasby so he couldn't take the money because they knew he was taking money. And they didn't, the feeling was is when you read this case is how could this have been going on since 2014 and we only found out about it in 2024. So, and they only went back 2 years really to 2022, I believe, to actually for the prosecution of this, but it was widely known that this has been going on since 2014. So that's a bigger issue. And it also involves multiple different people who have worked at the COA. So, and we don't know who those people were. They don't identify who the people were that were hiding the money from him. But it started with he needed money. I think he needed money to pay for a car payment in 2014. And one of the counselors went back to 2009 because in 2009, I think he was also, it was in the paper that he placed his parents into the Naval Terrace, and he had to step down from that board. And oftentimes, when you see something like that in this type of work, the line of work that we're in, like favors or doing certain things, it's the start of potentially bad other things are going to happen. And unfortunately, it did happen. And Mr. Clasby has stolen from the most vulnerable people in our city, the seniors. And I think there's a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of distrust that's come from that.
Okay, so what specifically would this resolution do?
It just actually, it's in oversight. What we're really doing is trying to understand how this happened and how you can prevent anything like this happening again. So what we were talking about was money. Many of the things we were talking about was policy. It got a little heated because one of the directors for the administration felt as though the best way I could say it is that we were Monday morning quarterbacks and that we were just poking at people for an unfortunate situation. And I don't think that was really the case. I think what we were trying to figure out is could it happen someplace else? Who else has money? Like revolving accounts, that's a lot of cash that goes into it. How often are those being How often are those being reconciled? The schools have cash that come in. The COA has cash that comes in. A police station has cash that comes in. And when you're delivering that money, because as Treasurer Smith was explaining, when people deliver it, they don't let you. There used to be the police would drop it off early in the morning. They want to make sure it's stamped and they got it. And there's a path as to how this is going into the system. Their turnover sheets, the account gets turnover sheets too. It should all be reconciled. And then also the people who are dropping off, they should get a report from the Treasurer's office saying, "We got your $1,000, and this is where it was deposited to." So there's checks balance, and the other thing. And they put a lot of those things into place, and that's reassuring that once this happened, the treasurer, the police department, the police department worked very well with the feds to be able to deal with this. I think the city went into action in the correct way. I think the shock was how much and who, and the fact that people are afraid that they could get in trouble if they say anything because this was a person who was very close to the administration. And that was said in the actual, that's not me saying that. That's actually in the report that came from the court case. So on the docket. And then the other thing was what came of it, good conversations come from this. And I know some people are saying, do you get fraud training or other things? People are saying, well, everybody knows not to steal. Well, okay, that's true. Most of us do know not to steal, but some people do. And what's the consequences if you get caught stealing? Do you get fired? We didn't get that. So we don't know the HR benefit of is this person immediately fired? So could this have come to the attention to somebody in 2014, 15, 16? We don't know. And if you get a slap on the wrist, then you didn't get written up and we don't have any history of it. But we found out from that case that it's been going on since 2014. The other thing that they don't do is they don't bond the people who are bringing the money, and that's pretty a standard thing. It's an umbrella policy for anybody that's delivering money from the COA to any place that's driving to City Hall to drop off that money. So they were averaging out about $2,000 a week. So somebody's driving $2,000 a week down the street to the CO from the COA to the town hall. Might not seem like a big deal, but say they got into a car accident, say the money got lost. If they were bonded, they would be protected individually and also for the city itself. So they're not th these people aren't bonded either, and that's pretty standard. And then the other question that came up, a big one, which was the payback. I believe CLASB has to one of the settlements is that he has to pay back the $136,000, and then where would that money go? It will probably go into the general fund. And my question about that was, shouldn't it really go back to the seniors? It was their money that was stolen for things that they were paying for to benefit the seniors, but that's where the money will go back to. So
Okay.
it was an interesting evening. There was a little bit of tension that went on, and I will say, director, I don't know if she's a director, Logan, Catherine Logan, left in her own will because there was a couple of outbursts from that. And it does present itself very poorly, I will say, to have a director up speaking to us and telling us that we're the problem. We're the problem. We're asking questions. We're the problem. The council is the problem. And we're not working with the administration when this is actually not meant to be comfortable. It's meant to understand what happened. A pretty big thing happened in Quincy. This is the stuff you see on Netflix. It's not really what we think is going to happen in Quincy to the COA, to our most vulnerable population. Our COA director stole not a little bit of money, a lot of money over the course of years. And it wasn't just the petty cash, it was also procurement, where they found out that one of the vendors that he used to embezzle the money was not a real vendor. And again, this isn't pointing fingers at the procurement office. It's just trying to understand how something like that happens. But questions weren't being welcomed last night, and Ms. Logan left on her own will. And then I believe Leah D was also asked to leave because she was screaming from the back of the room, and she left very colorfully, like letting us know, but with some prominent favorite F words. So it was uncomfortable, but I think that was the right thing to do because we only have so much time to get something done. We didn't have open forum, and it was important that we kept decorum in the council chambers. So Councillor Jacobs did have them removed.
So is the city council satisfied then that safeguards are now in place to prevent this from happening in the future?
We certainly are hopeful for that. I think there was still some questions in regards to, the fact that when we were talking about these, like the administration was like, we don't want to get into personalities. And at this point, you really had to get into personalities because you did have somebody who's working for the city standing up, basically kind of proving that point. Like, how dare you ask any questions about this? We all do our jobs really good. And this is what I mean about an atmosphere of working someplace where, somebody might kind of come at you and you'll think, oh, I better not say anything. But that's not our job. Our job is to ask those questions. So there was kind of some tying out, like why somebody would think that. The administration was basically saying that they didn't understand why they would think that the mayor didn't know anything about this. And I think it's really the optics, and that's what people are talking about in the city. It's not just that this person stole, it's how close all of these people are. No, Mr. Clasby is not just the COA director. He was one of the founding members of the Men of Divine Mercy. Eric Mason was in the Men of Divine Mercy. There were jackets bought for the Men of Divine Mercy with stolen money. And it goes on. It goes back to 2014. Who were these people moving money that it didn't get reported to? And that's really kind of where we were trying to get to the nuts and bolts of this, like understanding this. And we're concerned about people who work too. There were people that were raising concerns. I think Council UN was raising concerns that people don't feel comfortable being able to talk about this. Sure, we have a whistleblower, everything in the state, and you're protected, but it's a scary thing to stand up and say, hey, this person's doing something wrong, when you know they're connected and that you'll be the person who might reap the wrath of the problem. And that's what we weren't trying to expose that. We were just trying to ex like have the administration come back and ease our minds for it. But the transaction that happened last night, I don't think anybody's minds were eased. We also had Solicitor Timmons saying to us, like, this council doesn't work with us, and it's really disruptive in the sense that you're planting a seed that it's us, when in fact we're asking these questions because of somebody else doing something. I didn't embezzle $136,000. Somebody in your administration did, and we need to understand this, and we need to work together better at that. But it's not us. We're asking questions. Questions are uncomfortable in the city. They haven't had them for a long time, and they are having them, and they seem to be very uncomfortable with that. But at the end of the day, I think the council did, they were able to get enough of the information out and recognize that we're going to be looking at things a little bit closer, which we've been saying since we've come on. That's not a bad thing. That actually helps the checks and balances of the city. And we are more than happy to work with the administration. I've said it a million times. If you want me to come in, I'm more than happy to show you how I got to my numbers. Maybe that will help. But there's not a lot of acceptance on the other side. And I'm hoping that once we get past this, because this is definitely a prickly one, once we get past this, we can move on to getting into the regular cadence of getting other things done. It did have to be discussed. There's lots of people out there talking about it. They're very disappointed, and they feel like trust has been eroded from their government because of something like this.
So,
So, from
did the resolution pass?
there was no passing of it because it was
Okay.
just an oversight. So basically, we don't have to pass anything with that. We just had to have the meeting, do the oversight, and make sure that we had the questions. I think it stay in committee if they want to bring it back at any time. And if there's any future information, it could always come back. After that, we did have to open and close the regular meeting, and we went into the rules. And the rules we had discussed was for an ordinance safeguarding transparency, public access, and information. And basically, it's just getting the information out front earlier. And there was a friendly amendment. I think it was made by Council UN to take out three sections, which I think was just a resolve policy and something else, and leave oversight. And I mean, I think it was orders and ordinance was left in there. And it
Yes.
did pass. That passed unanimously. And then we moved on to the second ordinance meeting, which was about the raises, the mayor's raise, the council's raise, and the annual raises. So after some deliberation on that, Councillor DeBona thought that it was just to repeal. The word repeal was replaced with, I believe, delete. And then, so it says it on the order, it says it on our meeting, but that will be taken care of later because that was what the name of the order was. But in general, basically, the idea was we're going to take these salaries and bring them back to what they were, so there's no ordinance on the books in Quincy. And then we can move on to having the discussion of the data-driven information so that we can figure out what the right salary is. And Councilor DeBona was very concerned because the mayor came back with an order for 225, and he thought we should just skip to the 225 and call it a day. I just basically said, I think there is issue is that there's a ballot initiative that was out there that we know where it is in the courts, and has I think they have an extension until this Friday, but that was 183. So if we went to 225 and didn't consider the 183, then are we really being fair to all those people that signed that signature drive? And also, what is the directive from the judge, and how do we handle that? So what we did last night is we voted on all three of these ordinances. I think the one for the mayor's was 8-1. I think Noel DeBona did not vote for that. The vote for the council and the vote for the repeal was, I think, was unanimous across the board.
Okay, so to delete the raises, right?
Yeah. So to delete and bring it back, to reset them back to the original 151 and 29.
Gotcha.
Eight, I believe. And then the goal, just this is the part that I think has been stated a lot of times, but maybe just forgot about, was we repeal them and then we start the conversations about, the process. And hopefully we'll have, that will be when we come back in September, we'll be able to start that process right away. And hopefully we can come to a conclusion with that process, by December-ish of next year. Definitely
Okay.
before people pull papers. And in essence, it shouldn't impact anybody, because if we have everything figured out, what the salary should be, then in the next election, when councils are running and when the mayor's running, the salaries will be set. So you'll know what your salary is going to be.
Okay. So what happens to the additional funds that were allocated, when the raises were passed?
So the raises were passed, and the money is in. So we several of us deferred, and many of them did not defer. So there'll be extra money in that line item budget. There was options that you could have taken. It wasn't taken. Maybe cutting everybody back to 29.8 when we were in session, but somebody would have had to make that motion. And I know several of the counselors, I felt like several of the counselors, actually, there's only really, I really felt like that would be, they ran. They voted for it, and they don't have to defer. That's what they voted for. And to just unilaterally take something away from somebody like that doesn't seem right either. So basically, that money will fall to free cash, which be
Okay.
about like a out of all of us, it will be maybe $100,000 will fall to free cash next year.
Okay, great. Okay.
Or certainly could be used if we do get the opportunity to use potentially that money for, with Councilor McKee's consultant piece, which would be 35 of the 100. So it's
Oh.
really it, there's going to be money in that budget. So.
Okay, very good.
So then we moved into the regular meeting, and we did have two pieces that were added to last night that I invoked Rule 27, which is just that they came in. One was that we had an open meeting law violation that came in on June 21st, and this was the last meeting of the year before September 8th. So I asked to see if we could get that updated and put on the agenda so we could deal with that. And we did deal with that. So the open meeting law violation came in June 15th by Leah DeGloria, claiming that there was emails that went out that the ordinance chair, Councillor McKee, sent information to Jen Manning, who we would send things to, and then Jen Manning sent them out to all of us, and that was where we were communicating or violating something in that sense. But that is how we normally do it. The red lines were sent out, and nobody even, I don't think half the people probably even read it. And then it's in their full package when we came in. And then when we did come in for the meeting, I think on the 18th, they never even got around to the ordinances. And she assured everybody last night that the changes that were made, even for last night's that we voted on, were made with the feedback from Councillor Timmins. And that's all she was ever looking for, was feedback from Councillor Timmins that she didn't get. But if she didn't get it, it would have just gone in for that night. So everything is passed now at this point with the orders for the mayor's raise, the city council's raise, and the COLA raise. And that complaint came in, and it was a vote for me to respond back to Leah DeGloria and the Attorney General's office, saying that we do not feel like there was any open meeting law violation. And that's how we'll handle that. Then we moved on to the regular business meeting, which is the rules ordinance for rules came out for the safeguards of transparency, that, as I said, got voted unanimously with the small edit that they had. And then we had the ordinance amending the municipal code for Chapter 66, Article 3 of the city auditor, strengthening the powers of the auditor. That also had red lines because it was in the wrong section. So everybody reviewed that last night. And there was one comment, I think Councillor Ash had thought that something new was in there, saying that the city auditor couldn't go to fundraisers or certain things, donate money. That was always there. We didn't add that. That's been always there. And so it stayed. That passage, that all passed. And then, of course, the next three orders passed as well, for the raise, the council, and the annual raises, which really brings us to the end. But before we end, Joe, I just want to mention that we did have a moment of silence last night because Quincy did lose, a Quincy High School graduate recently, Kayan Garcia Costa, in a tragic accident. And we just it's just it's this is sometimes this brings back such bad memories. This is always like the worst parents' nightmare, and we just wanted the family to know that our thoughts and prayers were with them. And for the kids that graduated, same, it's really hard to lose a classmate. So that was that really kind of brings it back to the reality of what we're trying to do here in the city, and it's just the humanity of and the changes that can happen in an instant. So my heart goes out to that family.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a memorial service this coming Sunday up at Southwest Middle School, and there's an
Yeah.
online campaign to help raise some funds for the family as well.
Yep. So I really encourage people, if you haven't read or didn't learn about it, please check it out, because it's just a horrible, horrible situation, and my heart just breaks for them. So
Very good. And as you mentioned, next meeting is September 8th.
I think everybody needs a break. So our next meeting is scheduled for September 8th, unless there's a special meeting that has to come up that we don't know about. But as of today, we do not have any special meetings coming up, and it is going to be September 8th, Tuesday, September 8th, and we will be back. The City Council will be back ready to work. And we'll go from there. So, and it's been a fast 6 months. I think I definitely feel as though everybody has their legs underneath them, and they're you know they we started slow, and we've ended with we got through the budget, and we have now got to summer break. So we'll take that as it goes, and we'll be supportive in any community meetings that are happening, and we will continue down that path. And I look forward to coming back in September, but I also look forward to maybe reading a book this summer at the beach.
Well, I appreciate these updates after the meetings, and they're very, very helpful. So thank you.
Absolutely, anytime, Joe. It's great talking to you.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.